Okay, good afternoon. So Cabinet today received a briefing from Stephen Joyce and Nick Smith on the situation with regard to the arena. It's clear from that briefing that the arena remains in a precarious state, and while we would all have been pleased that some of the benches are able to reopen, we should be warned that there is every chance of further oil washing up on the coastline. As has been the time from the arena grounded itself on the reef, the government is fully focused on both the oil recovery, successful salvage and mitigation of the environmental impacts. For your information, I'm going to be visiting Tauranga again tomorrow. Amongst my appointments, I'll be visiting the wildlife recovery operation and a meeting with the Tauranga Chamber of Commerce. So after that brief introduction, I'm going to pass to Stephen again. We'll take all those questions and go on to other parts of the press conference.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Just a couple of points to update. We have had some more progress today. They're now up to about 64 tonnes that has been pumped off since last evening. Of course, we'd all like to see more, but that is an improvement in progress through the day today. The Solvors have been putting a booster pump in place to help boost the flow rate between the arena and the Awanui, and that should be kicking off shortly. They've also been today preparing to set up a tap system on the starboard number 5 tank. So they're working on the port number 5 tank at the moment, which is the one with the 770 tonnes. The starboard number 5 is the one that's largely underwater and quite difficult to access. It's about 358 tonnes, but they're proceeding to prepare that to enable pumping. They're also continuing to work on options to get some heat into the oil to increase its potential flow rate. That remains challenging. The engine room of the vessel is partially submerged, and they have to get some sort of heat from some of the engines there to be able to do the job, or bring some heat in from elsewhere, and both of those options are pretty fraught, but they are working on that today. In terms of the oil response, I think I described it yesterday. I think it's fair to say that we're at the end of the first stage of the oil spill response. There hasn't been much further oil added to the beaches today, although occasionally you get weathered oil coming in different parts. So they're currently standing down some of the teams to have a rest and to be ready for the next stage, which will undoubtedly occur at some point, particularly with the weather starting to get a bit rough tonight. So we will need more volunteers, and the Army will need to be back there in force at some point. And again, I stress that we are expecting more oil at some stage through the week with all the variables in relation to the ship. The other point to note, some of you are aware that I met with the MSC management team today, Phil Abrahams and Kevin Clark from Australia, really to have a discussion around two key points, giving them a clear understanding of how New Zealanders feel about what's happened here, and getting a clear understanding from them as to how they see their role in the clean-up. And again, I wasn't talking about legal liability, just more the moral obligation to assist given their involvement with that vessel, and they have given me an undertaking that they will be looking to provide assistance in both cash and non-cash terms, and they're going or have already gone to Tauranga since that meeting, and I understand they're going to update the media further tomorrow. So perhaps questions.
How much do you think that the clean-up operation is going to cost?
We literally don't know. There's just too many variables at this point, basically around how much of that oil comes off the ship and when and in what way. And currently the cost is somewhere around $4 million for the oil spill response part. We had officials in on Friday to discuss what it was likely to cost. And of course their first question was, well, how long is this going to go on for, Minister? And the answer is we just don't know at this point because of all the variables associated with both the ship and the weather and how long it stays on the reef and in what position.
Those estimates out there of tens of millions, is that possible?
It's possible. There's a range of numbers that are possible. We could go through any number of them.
What's the daily cost?
Daily costs, again, a little bit hard to say at this point. Of the $4 million, some of that money is involved in setup. And they're working through to try and come up with an estimate of a daily cost. And again, that depends very much on the status of the operation, because if sometimes, as we are in a sort of lull currently, it doesn't cost as much as when they're fired up. But the officials are working on those estimates.
They haven't given you a daily estimate?
No, they haven't.
Okay, do you have any estimation on the time?
In what respect?
Well, at the moment, and how long it's going to take to get the oil off the ship, whether, you know, I don't know whether you're going to be able to do that or how...
Just way too many variables, I'm sorry. There is four tanks, they've got access to one, they've got a flow rate, which as we can all calculate at the moment, will be quite a while before that would get to the point of emptying that 770 tonnes. They've got access issues in terms of getting access to the two settling tanks around the engine, and of course they've got the other tank which is literally underwater. So they've just got to work their way through it, and we have to give them the room to do that.
Do you have a peak amount that you could see going to get off a day? I mean, is it around 68 or is it more than that? Because on that basis, obviously, we just go 10 days or more.
Well, that's a long time. That would be a wonderful number to have indeed, but I just don't think it's that exact in any way, shape or form at this stage.
What's the best case scenario, then?
Sorry?
What's the best case scenario for how much you can get off a day?
Well, the range that I understand that the Archimedes pump works is anything between 0 and 70 tonnes an hour, but as you know, it's been much, much closer to 0 than to 70 at this stage of the game.
Are they expecting to work through tonight again?
Subject to weather, yes. The weather is due to get a bit rougher there. Not in the way of last week, where there was a very heavy swell, but they are expecting significant wave forming and wave action around the vessel, and it's coming from the north, which is the tougher angle. It's the most exposed angle from the ship, or the worst angle, I understand. So there may be a situation where they have to be taken off tonight.
How is the oil today,
and
are there any risks with
that? I would say there are always risks around what's going on that ship. It's on a 21-degree list, and there are risks around the work they're doing, which is why there's a real focus on safety and evacuation plans. We've got the Sea Sprite standing by. It's got night vision, but every evacuation plan has to have a number of options. We don't want to see anybody lose their lives on the ship.
How is that oil heated up?
The oil is heated up. Normally it's heated up using the engines from the engine room, and it's heated on a steam basis before it's run through the system. And that was the way it was being done last week before the first storm. But as to how it's being done now, they're still working on that.
There have been reports today of that the ship had, and mistaken reports by the sound, the ship had broken up. Has there been any structural deterioration, any change at all in its position or its structure?
My understanding is that it's a reasonably steady state at the moment, but you know, it's creaking and groaning all the time, so I don't think anybody would be putting any money on it.
Did Cabinet talk about a financial compensation package for affected businesses?
We did have a discussion today about that potential, but I think we want to see a little bit more, to get a bit more of a clearer understanding of what's actually going to happen over the next little while. We're talking to the Prime Minister, who's going to talk to the Chamber of Commerce tomorrow, but also the Minister of Fisheries has been talking to commercial fishermen, so gathering information and trying to get an estimate of the impact that it will have if it goes on for a significant period of time.
So, but at this point there's still no commitment that that will happen?
No, it hasn't changed. We're still looking at it and assessing it.
But some businesses must now be starting to feel the effects of it. You know, we've had some business owners saying that you know, to shut down and that sort of thing.
And the Chamber of Commerce are collecting that information at the moment and assessing it, and to how long that will be and what their alternative plans are and all those sorts of things. And there'll be some that will be able to have alternative plans, and there'll be others that that will actually obviously be directly affected. And we do need to have some sort of scope in that respect. It's not unlike, although on a smaller scale, the Christchurch situation, where you do need the assistance of the locals to ascertain what the likely impacts are.
Would any compensation package, though, be likely to flow through businesses as opposed to, for example, individual health, because that potentially would be the main area of impact?
We're just trying to write it, obviously, at this session this afternoon. We just have to wait on that.
On the boat, what's your sense of chances of it making it through the night or the next few days?
One thing I've learned in the last couple of weeks is not try and estimate how the ship's going to behave in the weather conditions that are presented to it. Look, it's literally don't know, but I would stress this, that it is actually the stern two-thirds of the ship, which now contain all the oil, is quite precariously placed on the reef. So there's about 60 metres overhang off the back of the reef and about 90 metres sitting on the reef. The bit that keeps it balanced is the amount of air and flotation it gets in that back section. And that's changing, and there's significant amounts of water in the engine room, including at some points up to 2 metres deep. So it is variable and very dangerous, and these guys are just working to get as much oil off it as they can. and also mitigating what happens with the oil that's still on the ship, and they still have the caps and the ability to close all the vents should they be evacuated from the ship.
So what's the advice if the ship sinks or the back end falls off and it's just sort of sinks or floats?
Certainly, that advice again is quite changeable. The latest understanding I have is that it would struggle to float for very long because of the way the ballast and the weight is set up, and it may well just simply sink. They would still attempt probably to guide it to a slightly more shallow area, which would give better access to it later. But again, these are just highly variable situations.
What's the expectation as to what would happen to the oil?
There's a range of possibilities, right through from a fair bit of it stays inside the tanks through to losing some if there's a breach in one of the tanks. Just to give you a bit of an indication of that, the number three tank on the port side was breached in the last storm. They had successfully moved the oil from that tank into the number five tank before that storm. Otherwise, we would have had 350-odd extra tons in the water at that point. But that's where the crack has occurred, right across that number three tank.
Can you explain why in those early stages, this relates to the speed at which the rescue services and the government moved, why it was possible to move the oil back into another tank? It flowed sufficiently for that, but not sufficiently to be able to pump it off the ship?
No, it's not the flow. They actually did heat the oil, but in those tanks. They had three things, as I understand, that they were seeking to do in that first crucial few days. One is to get the oil from the front tanks to the rear tanks for two reasons, because the front half of the ship was more vulnerable, and we've found that out to be true because that's where the cracks have occurred. And then, of course, the number five tanks were staging posts to then remove the oil from the ship, because the only way to remove the oil is with a barge or a boat off at the rear. And then the limiting factor as to which they did in what order is the piping systems in the ship and what they can jury-rig to get the oil from one part to another. So it's simply a case of working in parallel, Vernon, and trying to achieve a range of things, including getting the oil shifted and off.
But I thought one of the reasons that the guy who offered the two barges, one of the reasons it wasn't accepted was the oil wasn't able to flow into his barges. That's not the case there. It could flow into the rear tanks, but not able to.
Not familiar with that. The reality with the chap in the barges, which of course Maritime New Zealand had access to those, as I've said a number of times, my understanding is that the availability of a place to put the oil was not the limiting factor. It was the ability to pump the oil from the ship into that, if you like, receptacle. And the preferred receiving barge would be one that is pretty robust. The Awanuia was the first preference. They did have those other ones available to them and one or two other options, but that was their preference. And as I say, the arrival of the Awanuia, which I think from memory was around the Saturday, was not a limiting factor because they weren't ready to pump before then anyway.
How much of the $4 million oil industry levy can be used to go towards the clean-up costs? can you take the whole thing or take some of it?
They could use up the whole lot, but then obviously you'd have to start building it up again, but that's entirely possible, yes.
Can you increase the levy amount?
That's one option that we'd look at.
Very easy.
It can be done. They're in the process of actually looking at an increase when this occurred, and that is an option going forward.
Is it something you'd consider seriously?
I think we'll consider a range of options to make sure that the absolute minimum is met by the taxpayers.
What about this idea of a commission or commission of inquiry?
We've said we'll have said a number of times in the last few days that we will have a look at it, obviously, afterwards in terms of getting somebody independent to run the ruler over it. Exactly what form that inquiry would take, it's just too early.
Just to clarify on the amount of oil pumped off, so there was 64 in this go and 10 tonnes in the first?
That's correct.
So about 75 altogether.
Yeah, so if you count it back from 1350 roughly, then we've got a way to go.
What realistically do you think are the chances of getting all that oil off?
I don't rate them particularly highly. I think it's a case of getting everything off that you can, and then this is just my view, and I'm a layman, but I think there's still quite a lot of risk around where that ship stays where it is. and then it's a case of capping and sealing what's there, and particularly if it starts to break up and sink.
So potentially it could remain on the ship for, and then would it be sunk, or if it was capped?
Well, it could remain on the ship for some time, absolutely. And that's one of the possible scenarios. They can still seek to obtain oil in those situations, but of course the deeper you go, the more difficult it is, the more challenging it is. But those are all options that are on the table depending on what happens to the ship. As I understand it, that's how salvage works, is they just keep using the options for what, you know, in terms of the issues that are placed in front of them.
But if the tanks were kept and sealed and it was sort of contained, does the ship just stay on the reef for the interim, and is the next step removing the ship, or would it be sunk?
Well, as long as the ship remains on the reef, they would expect to keep going back there to pump more oil off the ship, because that's definitely the preferable way. So in terms of it, of other options, it would actually really come about because that rear section of the ship has effectively come off the reef and either sunk where it is or sunk somewhere else. At that point, they would look at other options for how they would pump it out.
As far as the containers are concerned, are you going to be plans to remove those?
Now, the absolute focus at this time is on the oil. If you said you were going to move the containers, would they just have to stop the oil recovery? Because the containers, as you will see, are right across the deck and are in a very difficult situation. You'd have to access them, I understand, from close to the rear of the ship, because that's how you get to other ships alongside. So you're effectively in a situation where it's one or the other at this point.
So it sounds as if you don't have any current plans. Have you got any long-term plans to do that? Or is it just
the salvage
you're
team...
You're never going to pull the oil out, so you're never going to do anything with it?
I know the salvage team will undoubtedly want to recover the containers, but we've got a fair bit of time to go before we're in that phase, I think. And it is possible that more containers could be lost overboard this evening, depending on the weather.
Will it be a priority, should you win the election, to sign up to the Bunker Convention next year?
I think that's absolutely a priority in the current context. And as I said to you last night, Derek, it was pretty frustrating to find out that we weren't able to do that full amount when I discovered it last week.
The 24 million, the Greens are sort of saying, why limit it to 24? And if something happens, which is on a much grander scale, why not push it up further?
Well, it's based, as I understand it, on a calculation on the size of the ship, and that's exactly why it is the way that it is. So it goes up with the size of the ship and the size of the risk, as I understand it. And there are different conventions for different aspects. So, for example, oil tankers are covered separately to cargo ships.
That figure specifically relates to the clean-up, though, doesn't it?
That's correct.
The salvage costs don't come out.
That's right. The salvage costs are separate and to the owner's account.
Have you got to the bottom of why that was never passed ratified?
There's a few people you could ask about that. The change to the convention was proposed by the IMO in 1996, and how it works is that countries then sign up to it. And New Zealand is one of those countries, and then once a certain number of countries have signed up, it becomes the law, and that's the new rule. That happened in 2004 and became active at that point. Then the previous government, finally in 2008, proposed an update of the Maritime Transport Law that would have incorporated that change. That was passed in policy in 2008 and assigned a legislative priority of 5. I think that's 5 out of 5, and 5 being the low end. Then it was left and passed over to the new government. Unfortunately, as if you've gone back and read the briefings to incoming ministers, it wasn't specific enough about the nature of that convention update, we didn't update. We lifted the priority to a 4, but didn't get it passed in the current term. I have to say I'm going to go back and ask officials to go back and look at whether we could change these things by regulation rather than time in the House. Certainly some countries do it that way, but the New Zealand law is not written that way.
What priority do you think it has now?
I'd say it would be significantly above priority 4 for the incoming government. I think we can be confident about that. Thank you.
Okay.